But my real name is Manasa Fatoi. It's a Fijian name. My auntie lives in Suva. I was born in a beautiful island of Western Samoa. But if you can't remember my name, just remember that he was one of the bad king of Israel. But he gave his life. So before you mock my name, we will see him in the kingdom. So I have hope. Can somebody say amen? I hope we will see him in the kingdom. I came to New Zealand when I was about 10. Knew nothing about English. The only word I knew how to say was a yes and a no and a smile. And so in New Zealand, 10 years old, then moved here to Australia in 2004. And now, just to cut the story short, I got baptized in the Seventh-day Adventist movement about 6 years ago. And then I said, God, what now? I don't want to just sit and do nothing. What now? Then he opened the door for me to go and study in a place in California called Amazing Fat with Doug Batchelor, if some of you guys know. You see him on TV, so study there. And then from there, God opened a door for us to do full-time ministry. It's a self-supported ministry within our conference. And the ministry call is Healing Rain. And Healing Rain is the sign to focus on the holistic healing of the person. So not only focusing on the physical healing, but we also focus on the mental healing. But not only the mental healing, but we also focus on the spiritual healing. So we combine all the three because we know that we have a work to do. So it's focusing on those parts. We run a school here in Australia once a year, and then we run another school for 10 days in Hawaii. So if you want to know more of this ministry, come and see us, or see my wife, or see Maddie that is here, and she would love to give you as much details as you need. Well, enough of that. We're going to go to the Word. Are you hungry? You know, I don't preach long. I know that I get hungry when I preach long. I'm a Samoan, Pacific Island people. You know, we need to look at the watch. It's lunchtime. Let's get to business so we can go and have lunch. Amen? If you have your Bibles, turn your Bibles in the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 1. And I'm going to read verse 11, verse 12, and then we're going to shift our reading to verse 21, 24, and 25. Genesis chapter 1, verse 11, 12, and then go over to 21, 24, and 25. As we read the word, I want you to picture, to see if you can pick up a phrase. What did I say, everybody? A phrase. See if you can pick up a phrase that keeps repeating. Because I don't want you to miss the power of this phrase, because it's going to help us to understand the sermon this morning. Verse 11, are we there? It says, then God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that heals seed, and the fruit tree that heals fruit, what is that? According to what, everybody? According to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth, and it was so. Look at verse 12. And the earth brought forth grass, the herb that heals seed, according, what's that phrase again? According to its kind. And the tree that heals fruit whose seed is in itself, what's that phrase again? According to its kind. Here in verse 12, it repeats, according to its kind, according to its kind, twice. Go with me to verse 21. So God created great sea creatures, and every living thing that moves with the water abounded. What's that phrase? According to its kind. Go down to verse 24. Then God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature. What's the phrase? According to its kind, cattle and creeping thing and beasts on the earth eat. What's the phrase again? According to its kind. Go down to verse 25. And God made the beast of the earth. What's the phrase? According to its kind. And then it comes here in verse 25 itself. It repeats three times. according to its kind, according to its kind, according to its kind. In the other words, it's a cycle. God creates something and then it grows into a cycle. There is good cycle and there is toxic cycle. And if you don't break the toxic cycle, it's going to break you. For a few moments, break the cycle. Say it with me, break the cycle. Say it again, break the cycle. Say it like you're really hungry, break the cycle. Let's pray. Father, it is your time. Amen. We must understand that life takes you through drama. Is that right? No matter where you come from, you can have trouble sometimes. Am I right? We must understand also that life operates in cycle. It operates in what, everybody? It operates in cycles. It operates in stages. It operates in season. It goes full circle. And if you don't understand the right cycle in your life, you will miss your blessing. Remember the story of a man who sat next to the pool of Bethesda for 38 years? Remember the story? Because he was too slow to jump in the water. The Bible says, and an angel came down from heaven and troubled the water, and then whosoever gets in first will be healed. But the man, he was too slow to get in, so then he had to wait a full cycle before the anointing of God came upon his life. May I suggest something to you this morning, my brothers and sisters? The reason why you are frustrated right now, the reason why you cannot move forward in your life, the reason why you cannot experience transformation, because every time that God gets ready to bless you, the devil will send something in your way to cause you to miss your turn, and now you have to go all over again. Does anyone understand what I'm talking about? Everything operates in a cycle. The galaxy operates in a cycle. Am I right? The human body, the females, you know exactly what I'm talking about, operates in a cycle. A season operates in cycle. Did you know when God created us, he placed you and I into a cycle called a cycle of blessings. Only one cycle. When God created us, he put us into a cycle. It's called a cycle of blessing that brings transformation, that brings revival, that brings strength. But the devil hates it. He will send anybody, any word, any frustration, any fear, anyone to break the cycle of blessing in your life. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever come across someone in your life, when they see you moving forward, they will do anything to pull you down? Have you ever come across those people before? Yeah, you have them in churches as well. Okay, let's be honest. See, where I come from, I have a name for those kind of people. I call them haters. Have you ever come across haters in your life? Yeah? Haters are the people who love to come to church. They don't want to get involved, but just complain all the time. Does anyone know what I'm talking about? Haters are the people who come to church, and when they see you moving forward, when they see you becoming somebody, when they see you claiming the promises of God, these haters love to do nothing but to find anything to be a stumbling block to you. Instead of learning from you to break free from their toxic cycle, no, they rather drag you in their mess. Turn to the person next to you and say, come out of that mess. It's okay. My wife tells me that all the time. Come out of that mess. See, church, the reason why the devil tempts you with sin is because he wants to break the cycle of blessing that God has for you. See, church, have you ever got into a cycle that whatever you touch turns to blessing? Everything you did, everything you apply for turns to blessing. But the devil hates for you to get into that kind of cycle, so he will do anything to break the cycle of blessing that God has for his church. Go with me to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, look at verse 11. Everything operates in cycles. Verse 11, it says, then God said, let the earth brought forth, what everybody? Grass. Look at verse 12. God said, let it be grass. What happened? Look at verse 12. And the earth brought forth, what everybody? God said, let it be grass, and bang, there was the grass. God created grass how many times? Only once. God did not come down and say, let it be grass. And then come down the next day and let it be grass. And then come down. No, no, no. God done it once. And once God created grass, it goes into what we call a cycle. And when a cycle grows, it goes on for years and years and years and years. But catch now this truth. Listen carefully. Every cycle is based upon the premises of the seed. That everything in life reproduces after its own kind. See, it is impossible to plant tomato seed and reap mangoes as fruit. Is it possible? It is impossible because everything reproduces after its own kind. That's why Paul counseled the early church about corruption. Paul says, anyone that brings corruption in the church, anyone that brings error in the church, Paul said, disconnect them, because Paul understood cycles. Let me put it this way. It takes one liar in the church to find other liars to reproduce what we call corruption. Anything in that cycle will reproduce after its own kind. Let me put it this way. It takes one gossiper in the church to find other gossiper to reproduce a cycle of corruption, and anything in it will reproduce after its own kind. That's why the title of this morning, we need to break the cycle. Because you see, there's somewhere in your life, somewhere in your family, somewhere in your ministry, somewhere in your marriage, there is a plant that the devil planted in there, and you're wondering, why can't I move forward? Why can't I experience transformation? Why? Because you have allowed the devil, there's a hole in your life that you have allowed the enemy to come in and plant a toxic cycle. Not only is controlling you, but it's controlling the next generation to the next generation to the next generation. I don't know about you, but we need to break the cycle. Turn to your neighbor and say, break the cycle. Yeah. Tell somebody, break the cycle. It's okay, really. Can I take this off? You're not going to stone me if I take this off. Is that okay, church? Break the cycle. Everything in life reproduces after its own kind. If I plant hate, what happens to the hate? You can come to church. You can read the Bible. You can pray. You can look holy. But if the hate is in your mind, it will flow to the next generation. It will flow. Everything reproduces after its own kind. Hypocrisy reproduces after its own kind. Hate reproduces after its own kind. Malice reproduces after its own kind. Let me put it this way. A full blood Samoan like me cannot produce Japanese babies. Some of you are laughing because I'm right. It's impossible for a full blood Samoan like me to reproduce Japanese babies. It's impossible. Because everything in me will reproduce after its own kind. And anything in you is going to birth somewhere in your life. I came across this statement here. There's only one statement. It says here, Child Guidance, page 162, paragraph 4. It says, the harvest of life is what, everybody? Oh, you're hungry already. What is what? Character. And it is this that determines what, everybody? Destiny, both for this life and for the life to come. The harvest is a what? Reproduction of the seed sown. Every seed yields fruit after its kind. So it is with the traits of character we cherish. Selfishness, self-love, self-esteem, and what's the word? Self. What happens? Reproduce themselves, and the end is what, everybody? Happy or sad? Everything you plant, you will reap. Everything you plant to your children, they will reproduce the cycle. When they see the children, when they see you gossiping about other people, guess what happened? They're going to start gossiping about other people. Everything reproduces after its own kind. No matter how much you pray, no matter how much you read the Bible, no matter how much you study the spirit of prophecy, guess what happened? If you don't reproduce love, they will always reproduce the opposite. I'm talking about break the cycle. Breaking the cycle is 2021. But we need to break the cycle. Everything in life reproduces after its own kind. And some of us are stuck in the cycle of an old mindset. I'm just going to let that soak for you. I'm talking to myself. Before I preached this sermon, my wife turned to me and said, "You better preach to yourself first before you preach to the church." I can just imagine. Can I share something with you? I can just imagine. Imagine if you can see the thought that's going in my head. I'll be fired from preaching churches. Can I be real? Is that all right? Can we be vulnerable in this place? After all, it's a hospital. Amen? It's a hospital. You can imagine, because some of us are stuck in this cycle of an old mindset. See, woe be unto us if we go into another new year, stepping into another new year with an old mind while someone in the hospital dying and begging God to the opportunity that you and I have. Put your hands on your head right now for me. Just a little exercise. Put your hands on your head right now and say, "Jesus, give me a new mind." Yeah, it's all right. It's all right. You can say it. "Jesus, give me a new mind." You see, that's why Paul says transform happens when you renew the what? When you renew the mind. You see, brothers and sisters, we need to make a choice to renew this. You know, I don't read minds, but I can see someone coming in those doors, giving you the evils, and look up and down at what you're wearing, and I know exactly what's going through their mind, judgmental. The mind, because the mind is so powerful, brothers and sisters. It is the mind. God is challenging his church to keep renewing the mind, because if you don't break the cycle of the old mindset, that old mindset is going to keep finding you every day. And guess what happened? You don't move forward. You don't go sideways. You're stuck in the center of nothing. Renewing the mind. That's why I love the song that we sing every some Sabbath. "This is the day that the Lord has made." And what does it say? "I will rejoice." What does it say? Say it again. "I will." It says, "I will rejoice." That means I've made up my mind, I'm going to rejoice. I made up my mind, I'm going to be happy. I made up my mind, I'm going to forgive. See, some of you, I'm getting to your nerves right now because you see, your old mind is telling you, "I don't want to forgive. I'm still angry. I don't want to forgive this person because this person did this and did that and did this." See, you are wasting time. We need to come out of the old mindset and step in into a new cycle of transformation. How? By the transforming this, change the mind. Turn to your neighbor and say, "Change your mind." Change your mind. See, the most powerful tool that we have right now as a church, the most powerful tool that you have right now in your body, in your life, is the mind. Because you see, that's why the Bible, see, the mind is so powerful that the Bible says, it is with the mind we serve who? It is the mind. You don't serve the Lord with your hands. It goes in first here. You serve the Lord in here, the hands will follow. You serve the Lord in here, what happens? The feet will follow. It is the mind. That's why. And you see, the devil is fighting you in your mind. It's a mind battle. The devil is fighting you in your mind. Because you see, you got two people fighting for the steering wheel. You know what the steering wheel is of your life? It's the mind. They're both fighting. Do you know why God and Satan is fighting for your mind? Because they're both trying to put their sealed wheel in the mind. See, the devil doesn't have to tie you up physically to be bound. No, he just have to tie up your head with stress and with low self worth, with anger, with bitterness. You see, the devil can make you physically sick because your mind is sick. But I want to praise God this morning, because my Bible tells me if we have the mind of Christ, the power of God comes into me and gives me the power and strength to transform this. If you believe that, can somebody say hallelujah? I will say it for you, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. The mind. Everything reproduces after its own kind. Go with me to Genesis 5. Genesis 5. Look at verse 2. Genesis 5, look at verse 2. The word he there is referring to God, the creator. Verse 2. It says, he created them male and what, everybody? Female, and then, and what's the next word? And blessed. Everybody say blessed. Say it again. Say it like you really mean it. Blessed. That tells me that everything that God does, he blessed. Isn't that right? But everything that we do is not, there's no blessing. But everything that God does, there's a blessing, there is power, there's transformation on what God does. May I drop this on you, church, right now? Quit doing things our ways. I've been to churches out there in America, in Hawaii, and the people said, I own this church. Well, first of all, you don't own nothing. This church belongs to God. And we need to stop doing and running church our own ways and stop running ministry. Stop running church according to God's ways. Because whatever God does, there's a blessing on it. Can somebody say amen? If we start doing things according to God's way, guess what happened to these chairs? There'll be no room for this place for people to come in. It's not about numbers. But when people see God's church, when people see ministry in the church, doing things according to God's way, guess what happened? The blessing comes. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Everything reproduces after its own kind. And Adam was created by God in his image and his likeness. What an amazing God. How did God create the light? With his hands? What did he do? He said, let it be light, and there was what? Let it be darkness, and what happened? Let it be the moon, and what happened? Let it be the sun, what happened? But what happens when it came to us? When God created us, he could have just said, let it be a man, and there will be a man. Am I right? We're talking about an infinite God. We're talking about a powerful God. Buster mentioned this earlier in Sabbath's lesson. A God, we cannot put a number. We can't put a number next to God's name. He is massive. So when God created everything, he spoke. Let it be this and let it be that. But when it came to human being, guess what happened? He did not speak. Why? Because you are so unique. Now, if you read the Bible, after God formed the body of a human being, what happened next? He breathed into where? Now, let me illustrate this. Did he breathe from here? Did he breathe in his nostril from here? Now, this is going to throw everything out of the window because of COVID-19. Okay, just forgive me for now. I'm just illustrating the point here. Is that okay? God has to come closer. Now, I know it feels weird right now. For my brother here, but I'm trying to illustrate the point here. Think about our God. Our God is someone that doesn't sit up there. He is a personal God. He comes in so close. And now imagine God breathing into Adam's nostril. I know you feel uncomfortable right now. I'm just illustrating the point here. Forgive me because I know it's COVID-19, 1.5. Well, there's no 1.5 here with God. You can just imagine. Right in his nostril. Thank you, brother. That tells me when it came to you, you are a fragile. You are a masterpiece. God is so careful. Because there's a Bible verse that says we are fearfully and he has to be careful of knitting it together. But you see, Satan hates it. He comes and tries to break the cycle, to distance you and I from our God. I'm breaking the cycle. So the Bible says that God blessed, that everything in Adam's life was blessed. You can imagine There was only one cycle. God created Adam, and everything in Adam was blessed. He went to sleep and blessed. He got up. He was blessed. He was eating his food. Everything was only one cycle. But the devil has to step in and break the cycle of blessing that belongs to Adam. And the likeness of God was now broken. Because if you go now to Genesis 5, look at verse 3. Genesis 5, look at verse 3. Listen to what happened. Look at verse 3. And Adam lived 130 years and begot a son in, what's that word? Own likeness after what? Wait a minute. Whose image and whose likeness now in verse 3? Not God. It's Adam. In other words, mankind came in. Our own righteousness kick in. And we know the Bible says our righteousness is like what? Filthy rags. See, instead of the image of God that brought a cycle of blessings and happiness and transformation and restoration and strength and power, you now have another image and likeness came into play. Now, what's now what happened when mankind came in? Go with me to Genesis 6. Look at verse 5. Genesis 6, look at verse 5. Then the Lord saw that, what's the word? Wait, hold on. That sounds like another cycle. Let me read it again. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the, what everybody? The thought of his heart was only evil, evil, evil. So instead of the cycle of God that boasts blessings, you now have a cycle of mankind, of sin, and our own way came in. Because picture this. If Adam had his son before he sinned, you can imagine the child. If Adam had a son before he sinned, but because he failed, he can only reproduce what was already in Adam. And listen to this. There is no way a cursed father can reproduce a blessed son. Only by the grace and the power of God. Can somebody say amen? But there is, it's impossible a cursed father can reproduce a blessed son. That's why Paul say that sin enter into the world. Sin wasn't always there. Sin had to enter in. Sin was trying to find his way in because God had a blessing, a cycle of blessing for his people. But sin enter, and then what happened? It causes a cycle of brokenness, a cycle of darkness, a cycle of emptiness. Because see, nobody had to teach your child how to lie. Nobody had to teach our children how to steal. Nobody had to teach our children how to hypocrite. No. It was a cursed sin passed down from generation to generation. It was a sin of the father passed down to the son and so on and so on. Because listen to this, church. If I have to look at your family tree long enough, I should be able to tell what your children have to go through today by looking at what you have to go with back then. Because the devil had nothing new. He's just taking you back to the old sick cycle again and again and again and again. I don't know about you, but we need to break the cycle. Turn to your neighbor and say, break the cycle. Break the cycle. The devil had nothing new. Just an illustration. I'm almost done, I promise. I remember one night, me and my wife decided to go, you know, to hang out, to spend time together and, you know, just do what couples do today and invest in our marriage and have a little bit of fun. So we went down to this restaurant down the Gold Coast. Now, you got to remember, I'm a Samoan. Who's a Samoan in the place here? Don't put up your hand. Just me. And Samoan people, there's a pride in us men. And all the wives say, amen. I'll say it for you, amen. She is trying to navigate us to the restaurant. Now, me and directions, we don't get along. And my poor wife was trying to, you know, navigate us to the restaurant, and a typical Samoan don't want to listen. You know, it's just, I know how to get there. So I pretended to know where I'm going. So anyway, I got into the car, and, you know, so driving, and she was looking at the map, so trying to look at the GPS to get us there. We're going down there, and then we got to the, not to the place, but we got to the area. 5 minutes later, she goes, honey, do you know where you're going? Now, I remember, I'm driving. So I'm like, baby, I got this. Just relax, just chill. 5 minutes later, honey, are you sure you know where you're going? And I'm like, just let me do my job. I'm all cool. 5 minutes later, she goes, honey, are you sure you know where you're going? By that time, my grace was running. There was no more grace. I'm like, woman, you need to stop. Let me drive. I know why I'm going. Just sit there and let the man drive. And then she whispered to me and she said, honey, if you know where you're going, then why do we see the same people again and again and again? What she was trying to tell me, honey, you're going around and around and around. See, the devil does the same thing. See, if you end up at the same place every year, if you end up with the same problem and the same issue every single year, that means the devil has you wrapped around his cycle. He's got nothing new. He just takes you back to the same old cycle again and again, but it stops right here. Turn to your neighbor and say, stop right here. It stops right here. You remember Abraham? We all know Abraham, huh? Sometimes we call him, he's a friend of God. Did you know that he had issues with cycles? Go with me to Genesis. Look at Genesis 20. Genesis 20. He had issues with producing cycles. Genesis 20. You can use your phone. If you want to use your phone, you can use your Bible. It's all good. Genesis 20. Look at verse 2. Now, verse 1 says that Abraham was in this place called Gerar. Keep that place in your mind, Gerar, not the Kia car. No, I'm talking about Gerar, okay? He was in this place called Gerar. Now, look at verse 2. Now, Abraham said of Sarah, his wife, who's Sarah? It was Abraham's wife. Listen to what Abraham had to say about his wife. Then it says, she is my what? Hold on, that sounds like a lie. Now, you got to remember, you see, if you don't break the cycle, it's going to flow to your next generation. If you don't break the cycle, it's going to get to your son, it's going to get to your daughter, it's going to flow. Now, keep in mind that Isaac wasn't here. He wasn't born yet. He's not there yet. Now, fast forward now to the next generation. Go with me to Genesis 26. Genesis 26. Look at verse 6. If you don't break the cycle, it's going to flow. If you don't break the cycle, it's going to flow. Go to Genesis 26, look at verse 7. And the man of the place asked about his wife. Who was Isaac's wife? Rebecca. Listen what Isaac has to say about his wife. Read on. And he said, she is my what? Wait, hold on. It's the same place. It's the same lie that came from his father. If you don't reproduce the cycle, I know if you read the context, there is a good excuse why they lie. I know that. But I'm talking about a cycle. If you don't break the cycle, it's going to flow to the next generation. Remember King David, the best king we had? Did you know that King David had issues with cycles? Go with me to 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel. Look at verse 2. You know the story. 2 Samuel chapter 11. 2 Samuel, look at verse chapter 11. Second Samuel chapter 11, look at verse 2. Then it says here, then it happened one evening that David arose from his bed and walked on where? I have to pause here. I'm confused. Who likes to go for a walk? Who likes walking? Now, when you go for a walk, you go where place people walk, right? But this brother here gets up in the morning and goes for a walk where? And what happened? Listen now, what happened? He goes on the roof now. And there he saw a woman bathing, and the woman was beautiful to look upon. In other words, this woman was naked, having a shower, and David is standing there looking at her. Listen now what happened. Go with me to verse 4. Then David sent messengers and took her, and she came to him, and he lay with her. In other words, that King David sleeping with a married woman. It sounds like a cycle of sexual sin. There's a cycle now is birth here in David's life. It's called sexual sin. Now, I told you, if you don't break the cycle, it's going to flow. Now, if you read the story, that King David ended up killing the wife's, this woman's husband. So you know David has two cycles. A cycle of killing and a cycle of sexual sin. And I told you, if you don't break the cycle, it's going to flow. Fast forward now to the next generation. Go with me to 2 Samuel chapter 13. Look at verse 1. After this, Absalom, the son of David, had a lovely sister whose name was Tamar. And Amnon, the son of David, loved her. You have Amnon. You have Tamar. They're both brothers and sisters. The Bible says that Amnon fell in love with his own sister. Hold on. That sounds like a sexual sin. If you read the whole story, brothers and sisters, I now challenge you to read the story. If you read the story, the Bible says that Amnon, he pretended to be really sick. And he told his cousin to say, go tell my father, the only person I trust to look after me and cook for me is my sister Tamar. Go now with me to verse 10. Stay with me here, church. I'm going somewhere. Verse 10. Look at verse 10. Then Amnon said to Tamar, bring the food into the bedroom that I may eat from your hand. And Tamar took the cakes which she had made and brought them to Amnon, her brother, in the bedroom. Now when she had brought them to him to eat, he took hold of her and said to her, come, lie with me, my sister. Read on. But she answered him, no, my brother, do not force me, for no such thing should be done in Israel. This is disgraceful. Now go down to verse 14. However, he would not listen to her voice, and being stronger than she, he forced her to sleep with him. What was King David's first cycle? It's okay, you can say it. It's in the Bible. Sex or sin. Here, Amnon, can I call sin by its name? Amnon raped his own sister. If the cycle, that's what I say, church. If you don't break the cycle, it's going to grow. If you don't break the cycle will eat you. The cycle will break you one day. We need to break the cycle. Now, fast forward now. If you read the whole chapter, and I challenge you to read the chapter when you go home, the Bible says that Tamar now became depressed. Do we all know of depression? We can hear that in our communities, in our own family, depression. She now becomes depressed, and now she goes now and talks to her older brother Absalom. Go with me to verse 20, the same chapter. Look at verse 20. And Absalom, her brother, said to her, has Amnon, your brother, been with you? In other words, Absalom now found out what happened. Now listen to Absalom's advice. He said, but now hold your peace. In other words, just shut your mouth. Just be quiet. In other words, just sweep it underneath the carpet. You see, some of us, the reason why we cannot move forward, the reason why there is no power in God's church, the reason why there is no power in your family, the reason why we cannot experience transformation, because we are not willing to deal with the things underneath the carpet. And we cannot step into the new season in 2021 because the real you is chained by the things underneath the rock. I don't know about you, but we need to break the cycle. Turn to your neighbor and say, break the cycle one more time. break the cycle. It's 2021. That was 2020. 2019 is over. A lot of us are still dragging the old mind, the old man into the new year. We need to break the cycle. Now, if you read the chapter, what was David's second cycle? Killing, huh? If you read the whole chapter of 2 Samuel chapter 13, Absalom became mad, depressed, and angry. And guess what happened? He ended up killing his own brother Amnon. Two cycles repeats for the next generation. Now let me get closer to you now as I come to a close. What is that cycle that you're holding on to? You know what my cycle was? A violent man. You can ask my wife, you can ask my son. Physical abuse, verbally abuse, emotional abuse, you will find it in this man. I'm just being vulnerable. You can ask my wife. Destroy my marriage. It destroyed the first 5 years of my marriage because of this cycle. We're that close to divorce. I want to ask you this morning, what is that cycle that you're holding on to for all these years? You cannot move forward in a powerful way if you don't break that cycle. We can have the intellect here about the spirit of prophecy and the science of the time. Yes, the mark of the beast and Babylon is this. Yes, we can educate our mind. Yes, and praise God for that truth. But if you don't get to the heart, the matter of the heart, that cycle, we will never be able to accomplish the work so Jesus can come and take us home. What is that cycle that is ruling over your family? What is that cycle that is destroying you? What is that cycle that drives you down to your knees and say, help, Lord, what is that cycle? What is it? Or maybe a cycle that you're dealing with the effect of low self-worth and low self-esteem and all this, your anger, your unforgiveness. Yes, bitterness. What is that cycle? They say, Lord, I might as well give up. But if that's you this morning, I have good news that Jesus is the answer. Can somebody say amen? Because why I say that? I'm breathing today. The abuse, the emotional abuse that I gave my wife, the physical abuse that I gave to my son, God came into my life and he broke the cycle. Can somebody say hallelujah? I'm the witness of his power and of his grace. By now I should be in jail by now. But I'm here. Because God, what are you holding on to? What are you holding on, church? You remember Daniel chapter 2? Who knows Daniel chapter 2? It's a familiar story with the Seventh-day Adventists. You remember the story? Remember King Nebuchadnezzar? He had a dream and he saw two images. What was the first image? Of the image itself, right? The man, the statue. And then he saw another thing that came from heaven. What was it? He saw two things, the image and he saw the stone. Now the image here, we know it represents not only what's going to happen in the future, what happened in the past, and what's going to happen to us today. We know that. But let me ask you a question. You have Babylon, you have Medo-Persia, and you have Greece, and you have Rome, and then Rome was divided into 10 kingdoms. What was Babylon famous for? Think of their worship style. Who did they worship? You wake up in the morning, what is the first thing you see? It's called the sun worship. Stay with me, church. I told you Jesus is the answer. I'm coming back to that. Sun worship. Then you have Greece. The Medes and the Persians. What were they famous for? If you read the book of Daniel, there is a theme that keeps popping up. There were laws that have been issued. They were famous for their laws. Have you ever heard of the saying, the law to the Medes and the Persians? Have you ever heard that? They were famous for their laws. What about Greece? What were they famous for? Philosophy. Remember the story of Paul? He goes into the city of Athens. And then in the city of Athens, he saw a group of men who loved to do nothing but philosophy. And then came pagan Rome. What were they famous for? According to God's people, persecution. And now Rome was divided into 10 kingdoms. And remember, some of those kingdoms are not here anymore. They're gone forever. And what kind of power that came and took that? It's called the state and church power. Now listen carefully, church. I'm going somewhere. Can you see a cycle? I want you to think of this in the end time scenario. Can you see a cycle put in place for God's people? There will come a time that people is going to force us to worship a day. We have what we call sun worship. How are they going to accomplish that? What's the next step? Their laws. Revelation chapter 13. If their laws don't accomplish what they want us to worship, of the day we worship, what is their next step? Then I start reasoning with you. Why do you worship this day? It's good to worship on this day. It's good for family worship. It's good for the planet. When that fails, what is their next step? Persecution. How did they accomplish that? Through the church and state coming together. Did you know they used the same cycle on Jesus Christ? They didn't like how he worshiped. Remember the Pharisee came and trying to kind of reason with Jesus with the law? Remember, why do you heal on the Sabbath? Remember that? And because their law failed on Jesus Christ, what was the next step? Remember, they brought Jesus in and said, are you the Son of God? Remember, they started reasoning with God. Why do you do this on the Sabbath? Why do you call yourself the Son of God? And because of that fail, what did they do to Jesus? And how did Jesus was persecuted? The Roman Empire and the church came together to enforce all of these concepts. Let me ask you a question. Did the system work on Jesus? Did the cycle work on Jesus? Jesus died. What happened on the third day? The man himself came back to life. Jesus broke the cycle. Jesus had victory over death. He had victory over the grave. Jesus broke the cycle. I have hope. Yes, we know what's coming, but it's not for us to be afraid because we have Jesus. Can I share one more thing before I sit down? Is that okay? I know you're looking at me and saying, oh, man, you need to go home and eat. Go with me, Daniel 2. Look. I want to show you one more verse before I sit down. I promise. Look with me to Daniel chapter 2. Daniel chapter 2. Look at verse 45. Look at verse 45. Are we there? Say amen if you're there. Look at verse 45. Then it says in verse 45, inasmuch as you saw that the stone, who was the stone? Jesus. That the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it broke in, what's the word? Now, your Bible and my Bible doesn't say, and it broke the iron. Does it say that in your Bible? It doesn't just say it broke the iron. It says it broke in, what's the word? In pieces. See, the Hebrew word for pieces is crush. In other words, the stone came down and broke the statue. I'm telling you right now, I don't care how deep, it doesn't matter how far that cycle has gone in your life. It doesn't matter how long. It doesn't matter how strong that cycle. The Bible says that Jesus broke the cycle in pieces, never to rise again. Never. What are you holding on to? Nothing is impossible to God. If you're 80 years old, if you're 90 years old, if you're 100 years old, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter how old, doesn't matter how young. What is that cycle? What is that cycle? And if you can give it to Jesus today, he will break it. pieces. Do you believe that Jesus can do that? Doesn't matter what background you come from. Doesn't matter if you left the church. Doesn't matter if you've been out there for so long. It's never too late. It's never far. God is right next to you in your journey. It's never too late. His hand stretched out still to draw you back to the Father.
This media was brought to you by Audioverse, a website dedicated to spreading God's word through free sermon audio and much more. If you would like to know more about Audioverse, or if you would like to listen to more sermons, please visit www.audioverse.org.